Michaela, please come forward. She'll spend some time on, well, I'll just let it unfold.
There we go. I said I'm not going to stand behind the thing. And I have slides to go with my little talk. But I'm going to preface it with what I think about water. I think of water as the blood system for the earth, for Mother Earth's system of moving nutrients around, feeding things. And there's many locations where the water gets cleaned within her body, just like the blood in our bodies gets cleaned. And I'm kind of proud of our neighborhood because we take water out for the city of Edmonton for drinking over that way in the southwest corner. And over here, I don't know what direction I am anymore, down there. We clean that water that we've used and flushed down the toilets and put down the tubs, and it goes back in the river. I think that is the best use of water. You take it out, you use it, you put it back. That's how the system should work. And so I'm going to go through a little process, or it's a little bit of education and talking, about really caring for Mother Earth's blood or water care. And this is the basic water cycle. And I was looking for an image, and they all kind of look the same. They all have a mountain, they all have the ocean and a river. This one had a nice rainbow, which I kind of liked. None of them are prairie, though. Nobody shows a prairie in one of these. Anyway, oh yeah, there's never any snow either. So it's a sort of a four-cycle process. You know, we collect the water in our water bodies on the earth. We don't do it. It gets evaporated, it condenses, and it falls as precipitation. And that's the basic cycle. And if you want to know more about that, go back to like grade four, I think we talk about that. Or you can do a university course too. Next slide, please. So this was a little bit more of a complex water cycle with urban development in it. And you can see it gets a little bit more convoluted. But this is a good one. You use the water, retreat it, we put it back, you keep the cycle going. So that's what we want to do, is keep the cycle going. We use it, we clean it, we put it back. Okay, next slide. So I wanted to show you what happens when we develop on Earth. Everywhere this happens. This is probably a little bit more North American, but in the top right you have the natural system, natural ground cover. So you get 40% evaporation, 10% runoff, you get a total of 50% infiltration. And as you go and you add more things, you add the house, you add a couple houses, now you've got roads, and then you've got downtown everywhere in our province, probably in lots of places. And all of a sudden you've got we're down to 15%, from 50% infiltration to 15. And 10% runoff to 55% runoff. So when we do this, what's going on? Why is everything flooding? Well, that's why, because we built too many roads. I always blame the roads because I have a vendetta against transportation. Okay, little story about that. because I'm a water resources engineer, all the stuff that I do, or water resources engineers do, is typically underground in a municipality. And nobody cares about it unless it doesn't work. Transportation, however, gets way too much attention because everybody sees it every day, they use it, and potholes come. And so there's a vast difference between funding for transportation and funding for water systems, of all the different kinds of water systems. Anyway, that's my little thing. Next slide, please. So this is what we do, or have been doing, and we hope we don't do it, is we build roads through the middle of a giant wetland. So how is this system now going to work? It's not. If somebody had thought about it and said, well, we need a road, we also need to take care of our water on our earth, they could have put a couple bridges in, the road still could go there, they could go around it. This one in particular is in Manitoba. I just found it on the internet. I was looking for samples. This was a good one. This happens so often, so frustratingly often. And then it comes to me, say, can you fix this? And I go, no, you just have to move Highway 2. That usually doesn't work. But this is what we've done also in many, many downtowns of many, many hamlets, villages, towns, and cities all over the place. Drainage wasn't thought of. Where the water was going to go wasn't thought of. And it causes a lot of problems. And people rightfully get upset when their houses get flooded because the water has nowhere to go, because we didn't take care of our water. Next slide. So the first five creeks on this slide were creeks in Edmonton. They are no longer creeks. Rat Creek is a road. Fulton Creek is where we live, on top of it, roads and houses. Groat Creek is Groat Road. McKernan Creek, the ravine's still there, the water's gone. I hadn't even heard of Ramsey Creek. It's not there anymore. And Mill Creek is still there, but it is vastly put through pipes. So what? This is not caring for Mother Earth. This is not caring about the water. This is, to me, very sad. And most creeks, I don't know who thought this up, that putting roads on creeks was a great idea. I'd like to go back and smack that person upside the head. But it's very bad. It's very bad, not just because now we don't have anything draining our land. It's not just about the humans. It's about the whole ecosystem that depends on this water to survive. It's wildlife, it's the plants, it is people too. It's a way that if the runoff comes from your lot and it goes through the ravine, it's cleaner by the time it hits the river. Next slide. Oh, this one. This is the Colorado River. This is somewhere in Colorado where it begins. It looks lovely. It's very big, has lots of water in it. Go to the next slide. This is the Colorado River where it enters the Sea of Cortez. There's no water left in this river. That's depressing to me. It's all been used, diverted, and this is in Mexico, and the fishermen wait for the tide to come back in so that they can go fishing. so that their boats can actually go back or will be lifted off the ground. All right, we can move on to something perhaps a little bit more or less depressing, more interesting, exciting. Next slide, please. So we're moving on to what we can do. And there's lots of things we can do. And one of the things, as the church we're doing, and I'm super excited about, when I worked for the city of Edmonton, LID became a thing. And I tried really hard to push it on developers. But there were very little incentives because it costs a tiny bit more. And when I say tiny bit, it's like 10% more to do LID than regular pipes in the road. So what is LID? I'm not going to read the slide. I'm just going to talk about it. LID are, it's low impact development, and they're facilities that can take runoff, absorb it into their soil, and usually here there's a drain at the bottom, so if there's excess, it will go into a rock layer and then out to the pipe system on the street. And there's also an overflow route typically for them. And the good thing about this is we call it an engineered soil, LID soil. And if I remember correctly, it's like one topsoil to one sand to one compost, something like that. So it can hold a lot of water in it. And most of the ones we build in Edmonton this is not going to make sense to you, hold 18 millimeters of rain, which roughly is up to a storm that would occur every 2 years. So we will absorb most of it, and then it grows really nice plants, and it filters it, it cleans it, it keeps it local. This is called source control. Oh yeah, green space for bees and wildlife, that's the other benefit. Let's go to the next slide. So what we're doing here, this is, EPCOR did all this work. They evaluated our site. They decided the best place to put it, and the best place to put it is right there. That's right, no, there, that side. I know my directions when I'm outside. And so that just to show you that they did some work, some evaluation of where the best places to put it is. Let's go to the next slide. Oh, this is a cross-section of a typical LID. Nope. So this one is called a bioretention basin. We used to call them rain gardens. I think rain garden's a little nicer, but somebody decided a more technical name was better. But you can see it there. So you got the mulch plants, mulch the engineered soil, then you have a rock layer and the drainage pipe. And then you see that little, well, there's the overflow, it's labeled. Next slide. So this is the plan view of what's going to happen in our space. It probably doesn't look like much to you. But there's lots of things to consider when you're putting an LID, how close you are to the buildings, where is it going to go, how does it drain, how much flow will actually go into it. And I don't know if you can see that on there. Our LID actually will collect some of the drainage off the street, which is kind of cool because then it goes through a nice system before it goes back out to the pipes. Next slide, please. This is engineer humor, the gritty details. This is just another cross-section, a little bit more information. Next slide, please. Oh, yes, and we wanted education for our little LID system. So EPCOR is putting up a sign, and that's pretty much what it'll look like. I can't read it. We can all read it when it gets installed. It just explains a little bit what it is. Next slide. So that's where it's going to go, where those two arrows are. Next slide. And there it is, magically all grown up. Doesn't it look great? I love it. Next slide. So a little bit more work, and I don't know if you can read those, I can't. But hopefully you can see some of the colors. So they actually think about where they're going to put the plantings. And each color represents a different plant. And they're all native species. Yeah, that's all on that one. Let's go to the next slide. And so these are the plants they're going to have. They did have names on them. They don't know. I can't tell you what there are. I'm not a plant person. But they're all native, and they look pretty. And they should do very well in our bioretention basin. And the goal is, in a bioretention basin, is that the plants will find their own way. So we plant them in a sort of in the design that they had, but then they will spread and grow and figure out together how many plants grow in which spot and move around the garden until it's whatever, a harmonious bed. So I'm super excited about LID. This is one way that you can take care of the water. So rather than having it run off and just go into the pipes and pour into the river, it can actually make a site like this that will accept a whole bunch of flow and runoff. And if there's lots of runoff, it'll just run off. But this is a nice spot for birds and bees and helps with flooding or ponding, depending on how you want to talk about it. All right, let's do the next slide. Oh, yes. So there are more things that can be done with taking care of our water. And I've just put some of them there. At home, you can fix your leaks so you're not using too much water. All these are really about water conservation. Water-efficient appliances, mindful uses, shorter showers, turning off taps, bucket car washing. And then I added more tolerance for ponding. I get a little excited sometimes, and I'll give the white mud as the example, as one of the underpasses. It flooded. Everybody gets excited when the underpasses flood. And I'm like, it's not flooding, it's ponding. It's doing what it's exactly supposed to do. And then we talk about, well, we got to drain it faster. Well, maybe it's okay if it's flooded for the day that it was flooded. And then it happened like 2 years later too, and it's like, oh, well, those are big storms. It's going to flood, and then it drains. Like, that can be okay. We don't need to get too excited about it. We used to be amused by people in spring. Oh no, the road's flooded. I'm like, yeah, the snow just melted. It'll go away pretty soon. I shared that with you. I didn't say those things to the general public. I liked my job. So in agriculture, there's better ways to irrigate, drip irrigation, rainwater harvesting, efficient irrigation techniques, and industry. There are some industries that are actually working to reuse water or reduce their usage. What else did I put up there? Oh yeah, water efficiency, pollution control. I think I got Labatt's. I wanted to tell the story about Labatt's. When I was at the city of Edmonton, I was always wondering what a brewery would generate for wastewater. So direct connection between water usage and wastewater. And so we finally got some flow monitoring on Labatt's. This is the Labatt's on White Mud and Gateway, or Calgary Trail, whichever one it is. And their water generation was significant, really, really high, like 100 percentile, like they were top of the generators. And I thought, okay, well, I can use that information in my work. And we know we don't want to put a brewery where we can't handle one. And I think it was like 2 weeks later, there was an article in the newspaper. I think it was actually a paper newspaper. And somebody that worked on the floor came up with this idea to reduce water usage. And they like halved it based on what this worker had thought about and could do. So it doesn't matter where you are, if you think you can do something that's good for the water, it can be done. That Labatt's one was amazing to me when I read it. And then I also thought, well, now I don't know what the breweries do, so now I can't use that in my work. But it made a good example that somebody just thinking about something can improve it and make it better. So at the time, the approximate thing for every bottle of beer, it used 7 times the amount of water as there was beer. Exactly. Wow. And so this, yeah. So they're working on it. I'm trying to think what else I want to say. I have no idea how long I've been up here. Yeah, if you want to talk about water, I'd be happy to. Wastewater. Wastewater is actually my wastewater collection is my forte. But we can talk about water in general, stormwater runoff. Always happy to talk water. I winged this. I didn't write any words down, which is amazing. Yeah, so I just encourage you all to do what you can to treat your blood of the earth with care, to take care of it. I was going to go back. If you are ambitious, you can build LID in your yards. There used to be this really awesome guy in the city who was working with homeowners to build little ponds and LID things to make their yards not grass. Don't get me started on grass. Unfortunately, he had a brain tumor. He didn't make it, but he was fantastic. So it can be done on a small scale. It can be done in your yard if you have the energy to do it and the money. I mean, it takes money. Oh, going back to the LID EPCOR is doing, they're paying for it. So SCORE, I mean, that's the best. Anyway, I think I'm done.
Thank you, Michaela. And I just enjoy any moment we get to hear a little bit about someone's world and life, and these moments to, you know, it seems ripe to talk about this thing. It's different to talk about caring for water. It's nice to have a little example that we can say, and here's a way that we're doing that in a very simple, small way. I came across a reflection on, you know, the doom of the world that seems to be in the air these days, and all these terrible things that we have no impact on. And the solution, I've heard from a few quarters, is to act locally, to do what you can in your sphere of influence. And I think that, you know, Labatt's is a little example of one person changing a story, and that impacts a whole thing. And maybe one church doing a little thing and a sign. So I happen to know that teachers like coming to see the garden, and so thinking of them as well, they'll have another stop to talk about water care. And so that little impact that we do for generational ripples, even though it's a tiny thing, it's a small little piece. And so thank you, Michaela, for inviting us to think of all those small little ways and how they're worth it to care for our earth. We continue in an affirmation of faith. I invite you to please stand.